There's no scripture reading today, because 40 verses is a long one. I want to do it in one shot. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you will fill each and every one of us with the spirit of wisdom and understanding and revelation, so that we have a better understanding of who you are and what does the Lord require of us to do, and what is the right thing to do, and what is the good thing to do, and what is the better thing to do. We know that we have a lot of choices to make, but the choice that we make, we have to face the consequences. And Lord, I pray that you help us to make the right choice, so that when we come to see you face to face, we will receive blessing, everlasting blessing from you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I said,
Pastor John, your mic.
Sorry. As I said, there are a lot of choices that we can make in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But I want you to understand the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is different from the teaching in Ephesians chapter 5 regarding husband and wife. Regarding husband and wife, that means they have already get married. But in chapter 7, some are virgin, some haven't get married yet, and you still have a decision to make. We don't have to follow the pattern of this world. You know, at the age, at the right age, then you have to get married. Not necessary. Because I tell you why. I don't care whether you get married or you don't get married. Eventually, you're going to face the judgment seat of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to give an account. You have to give an account to God of what you have done, the choice that you have made. Okay? Now, let's see what are the good things for a man and for a woman to do. These are the answer that Paul gave to the matter that they come to Paul and ask Paul for the question because they don't know how to handle that. And Paul gave them the answer. Now for the matter you wrote about, Paul said, it is good for a man not to marry. This is the interpretation. This is not the exact wording. The exact wording is like this in the footnotes. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. And then what's the reason why? Verse 6. I say this as a concession, not as a command. As a concession, that means you can make your choice. But just that Paul give you a better choice. Okay? He say it is good for a man not to marry, or it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. This is not a command. This is a concession. And I wish that all men, in verse 7, were as I am. But each man has his own gifts from God. One has these gifts, another has that. Some has the gifts of celibacy. And just like Paul, he didn't have any sexual relationship with any woman because he has self-control. So he can do that. But then, although this is a good choice, in verse 2, I want you to circle the word but. But, you know, but if you cannot make that decision, then you have to look at the condition, verse 2. But since there are so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise, the wife to her husband. Once you get married, then you're supposed to have sexual relationship. But when you have sexual relationship with your wife, You are not controlling your own body. Okay, in verse 4, the wife's body does not belong to her alone. Once you make the decision to get married, you have to have sexual relationship. So in verse 4, the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. Circle the word, mutual consent. If you don't feel like you have sexual relationship at that time, you cannot make that decision. Has to have mutual consent. And for a time, only for a short time. I know that some people, when they argue, and then they separate the room because they have four rooms. And then when they do that, they allow Satan to enter into your house and tear down your marriage. Circle the word. Mutual consent. It's not one person's decision. And also for time. A short time. So that you may devote yourself to prayer. Only for the reason of praying to God. Has to be mutual consent. If you don't have mutual consent, you give an excuse saying that, no, I don't feel like doing it, I feel like praying to God. You have to have mutual consent. And also for a short time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say that one more time. If you have the self-control not to get married, it's good for you. Keep the celibacy. Not to have sexual relationship, not even getting married. That's the good choice. But if you make a choice to get married, it's okay. But once you make a choice to get married, your body doesn't belong to you anymore. Belongs to other party. Have to have mutual consent for a short time, for only one reason that you can separate. For a short time, is for prayer. And after prayer, come together again. Otherwise, Satan is going to destroy your marriage. Verse 6, Paul said that, I say this as a concession, not as a command. If it's as a command, if he tells you to do it, you don't do it, that means you sin against God. As a concession, you can make your choice. It's okay, either way. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gifts from God. One has this gift, another has that. Not everyone has the gifts of celibacy. If you don't have that gift, then you get married. When you get married, then your body controlled by other party. Some people, they come to the church, they say, wow, you know, as a wife has to submit to the husband, and then the husband is over her, and husband is the head of the household, and she say, I don't like it. Once you get married, you have no choice, you can't say you don't like it. That's your view. Okay? Now, verse 8. Now to the unmarried and the widows, I said, it is good for them to stay unmarried, as I am. But if you circle the word God, this is a good choice, you know, if you are unmarried, then stay unmarried. Okay? If you're a widow, your husband passed away, or your wife passed away, stay single then. It's good for you to make that choice, as I am, just like Paul. Circle the word God. But if they cannot control themselves, if they are lack of self-control, Satan will tempt them and they will fall into sin. Because of that, if you are lack of self-control, then they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. When you burn with passion, then you sin against God. inside verse 9. I want to jump to chapter 7, verse 39 to 40. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, that means she becomes a widow. She is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. You cannot marry a non-Christian. You can marry a Christian if you're a widow. And then in verse 40, and Paul said, in my judgment, she is happy if she stays as she is. And I think that too. And I think that I too have the Spirit of God. And that means he said that by the Spirit of God. This is what God wants us to do. All in all, what does Paul say? If you have a choice to make, remain single is a bad choice. I just cannot imagine, you know, when I go to a shopping center, you know, I see a guy, you know, doing all the shopping and looking after the baby, and very likely that means he's not working. He lost the job and his wife is doing the work. You want to marry a guy like that? I tell you, there's a lot of them like that. At school they don't study, they're fooling around, they play computer games. At work they are not mature, they don't earn good salary, they can't look after you. You have to look after them. Well, 40, 30 years ago you have no choice because your parents forced you to go and get married, right? Because you can't support you. Now you earn a living, you make a better choice. I want you to write that down. 7:1-9. And then I want you to jump to 7:25 to 38. Then you see the reason why Paul made that choice. 7:1-9, you write down 7:25 to 38. I read 25. But now about virgin. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Paul is apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's trustworthy by the Lord's mercy. And he gives that judgment. It's a sound judgment. So we pay careful attention of what he's trying to say. Because he's also a prophet. He sees what happened ahead of us. We don't see, but he sees that. Verse 26. Because of the present crisis circling the world. Present crisis. Do you know what's the present crisis now? 50% of the marriage, especially those people who come from mainland China, they divorce. 50%. Worse than of those people from Hong Kong. Okay? That's the present crisis. And I say to you another crisis. We just have a hobby. The storm hit Texas. Most of the time the storm, they come in and go. Just like Andrew. Andrew come and go in Florida, it's only 4 hours. Now they talk about Irma gonna come and stay for 30 hours. This crisis can wipe out a lot of your property. It's no kidding. It's getting worse and worse. If you have to run for your life, there's over 6 million people running for their life away from Florida. Over 6 million people. Can you imagine you have to carry your child, your infant, your wife? Or you just go by yourself? It's a lot easier for you to go by yourself. I want you to compare with what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. In a crisis situation, blessed are those who have no children. You can run for your life. And no kidding. A lot of people, they don't heed the warning. And people die. Because of the present situation, crisis, a lot of people getting divorced, they don't take marriage seriously, you take it seriously, they don't take it seriously, they want to get half of your property. They marry you, they have children with you, and then they say goodbye to you and take half of your property. You think it through. Do you need that kind of habit? Okay? But for me, you know, now I can't say, oh, I prefer to be single. No, because I am bound to marriage already. So once you make that decision, no choice. This choice is only for the virgin. They're not getting married. Okay? Now, verse 20. Verse 26. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. If you are virgin, remain virgin. Because Paul said that in chapter 7, verse 1, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. It's also good for a woman not to have sexual relationship with a man. Because of the present crisis. Verse 27. Are you married? If you are married, do not seek a divorce. Okay? That's what it means by it's good for you to remain as you are. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Because I think it's good for you to remain as you are. Verse 28. But if you do marry, you have not seen. It's okay. He said that choice. This is a choice. It's okay to make a choice. You're not sinning against God if you want to get married. It's okay to do that. But you're not making a good choice. That's all. Okay? And then when your husband tells you, wow, I want you to cook good food, don't complain. You choose to make that marriage, right? You make that decision, you have to follow the consequences. Okay? Now, let's see. Verse 28. If you do marry, you have not sinned. That means it's okay. And if a virgin married, she has not sinned either. It's good, it's okay, okay? But those who marry will face many troubles in his life. You write that down. You committed to the marriage, but your spouse may not committed to the marriage. You live a holy life. Your spouse may not live a holy life. Okay? Then maybe 10, 20 years ago, I went to a Hallmark store. I see a card that you can send to your friend, like birthday card and stuff like that. And one of the cards say, happy divorce. That is a lie. How can you be happy when you divorce? You lost 50% of your property. And your children suffered. And you two are so painful. How can they be happy divorce? Okay? But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. The reason why Paul said that. It is good for a man not to marry. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Because Paul wants to spare you from this trouble. He didn't want you to face so many troubles. You know what? If your parents are not a Christian, that means they don't read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When you are 18, your parents can say to you, well, make sure, you find a husband, or make sure you find a good wife, right? They're pressing you already. Because they are non-Christian. They just follow the pattern of this world. They don't know the consequences. But Paul, He knows the consequences. He knows the present crisis. He knows the trouble that you're going to face. You don't know. He's a prophet. He knows. He tells you ahead of time. Let me tell you one thing. Especially if you are successful in your career, I tell you not to get married. Especially when you are in your working place, you call the shot. And at home, you're going to call the shot. You are in trouble. You cannot call the shot. Do you understand me, Joyce? Do you understand me, Emily? You know what? If you're unemployed, you have no job, then you better get a husband then, okay? Well, you know, I'm not saying a gold digger. I'm saying someone that will look after you. But if you can earn for your living, you're all right. I tell you why. Because your life is a conduit to Jesus Christ. He purchased you with his blood, not your husband. Let Jesus Christ to lord over you. And eventually, when you enter the millennium kingdom, you can reign with Jesus for 1,000 years. Prepare yourself for that. Verse 29. Why Paul saying what he's saying? What I mean, brother, is that time is short. What are the reasons why Paul say that it's good for a man not to marry? Remain the situation that God called you. Remain as you are, just like Paul. Because, first of all, of the present crisis, because you will face many trouble in this life, and Paul wants you to spare you from this trouble, and because the time is short, Jesus Christ comes back soon. And you have to give an account to Jesus. What have you done for Jesus? From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Verse 30, those who mourn as though they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. I don't know how many people can understand this portion of the scripture from verse 29 all the way to 31. But after the storm of Harvey, and the storm is coming from Irma, Andrew, Sandy, we know what it really means. You buy a beautiful house in Florida, such just like the billionaire, the one who owned the Virgin Airline. He has purchased a beautiful island in Caribbean, and his building was destroyed. You spend money to buy a beautiful mansion. The storm comes. He's an Englishman. He stays in England. He travels in New York. But when on his vacation, he goes to Caribbean. And now the thing is destroyed. You own the property. Do you own it now? In the property over there, no one can insure you. A lot of people own the property in Florida. They are not insured because it's a flood zone. How come those who mourn as though they did not? How can you mourn every day? Just last week is Harvey. Now this week is Irma. And there's another one is coming. You have no time to mourn. You're numb to it. When you're happy only short time. And then you lost all that. Wow, you know what? I think the happiest time is you sign the mortgage to get a house, right? I think it's the happiest time. Wait until you pay the first few down payment and then the house burned down. And you have all the headache to look after that. You're not happy anymore. Because there's so much trouble in this world. Just like Jesus Christ said in Gospel of John chapter 16 verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. And when you get married, you have more trouble because people are going to divorce you. You know why people are getting married nowadays? They have prenuptial agreement. Let's say if you have a numerous property, you're going to say to your spouse, you know what? Now I'm marrying you. The property that I own right now, you get nothing if you divorce me. Because they don't believe the other party. So many troubles. Thanks the Lord, what happened lately can help us to understand what the Bible is trying to say to us. You own that mansion. You own that furniture. Do you know that in Texas, because of the hurricane, all this furniture, they have to throw out in the front yard. And they have to pay someone to dump it to the garbage dump. Nothing but pain in their neck. When you get flooded in, if it floods in here, you'll be alright because it's concrete. Most of our house is a drywall. If you get flooded, you have to cut at least 4 feet. And you have mess in your house. If you are renting it, you just hang it here and you move. And then move on. On top of that, you think you own it. If you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, all these things will be destroyed. And what are you? You're working so hard for your mortgage. What are you doing? When you see Jesus Christ saying, what are you doing? Did you study the scripture? You have two citizenships. According to Philippians chapter 3, you have two citizenships. One is the citizenship of heaven, one is citizenship of Canada. You have to be accountable to both citizenship. Make sure you don't put all the egg in one basket. Make sure you know that the time is short. You have to give an account to Jesus Christ. Make sure you know that you have to pay tax to Justin Trudeau. According to Romans chapter 13. Make sure that you have to give tithing to the Lord. Don't tell me, I get a big mortgage, I can't give it to you. You owe it to him. What belongs to Caesar, give to Caesar. What belongs to God, you give to God. According to Leviticus, if you take what belongs to God, God will tax you 20% more. He can do it. He has his own way to do it. Okay? Now go back. Verse 32. The reason why Paul is saying what he's saying. Another reason is the time is short. We don't have much time to prepare ourselves. Oh, Joyce write me the email. Would you please tell me what you're going to preach, you know? I mean, on Sunday, Sunday I just finished preaching. You know what I mean? And I didn't even tell her, say, ready, right? Well, that's good. This is exactly what the Bible says. Make yourself ready like a wise virgin. Prepare yourself anytime. Jesus Christ, when you come back today, I'm ready. Because the time is short. This world in this present form is passing away. I have never seen a storm fight one after another. I have never seen that. Those people ignore the warning, they die. Loss of property is okay, but you keep your life, you can earn it back. You lost your life, that's just it. I would like you, Paul said, verse 32, to be free from concern, free from all these many troubles in life. Spare you from this. He give you a concession, he not give you your command. You can do whatever you like, as long as you're within the boundary of command. 32, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affair of this world, how he can please his wife. Verse 34, and his interests are divided. He cannot stay focused to the Lord Jesus. He has to please his wife. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affair of this world, how she can please her husband. I want to say that again. No, you know what, Pastor John, you don't know me. Now I'm married, I don't have to please my husband. My husband pleases me. I'm telling you, if you don't please your husband, you sin against God. Do you understand that? If you make the choice not to get married, you don't have to please anyone except Jesus Christ. That's okay. Once you get married, you want your husband to please you. You don't please her. You don't please him. You sin against God. But in here, Paul didn't talk about, but in Ephesians chapter 6, talk about. You not only have to please your husband, but please your spouse. You make sure you use God's word to teach your children too. If you don't know God's word, don't give birth to any children, because your children are going to go to hell. Don't give birth to someone and then you see him to go to hell. Do you understand? You give birth to your children, this is a gift from God. Make sure they keep that gift of God. Take them to heaven. This is your responsibility as a husband and wife. Don't just make your own choice and then do your own thing. If you go and get a mortgage, make sure you pay the monthly payment in order to keep the house. Alright? And nowadays, I don't know, I can ask you, but I can ask Jonathan. But in here, they talk about children. Yeah, but I see these two young gentlemen, I want to add something. This is my judgment, okay? As a trustworthy servant of God. And I want you to think about that. When you don't have money to buy the, let's say, Apple, iPhone 8, they're coming out in September. You say, Daddy, I have no money, but all my friend has already a pre-order. Could you please, I know that the US is going to be $1,000 US, and probably Canadian is $1,300 US. Could you send me just on the safe side, send me $1,500? And then the sweet Daddy transfer why the money, $1,500 in your bank account. Assuming. 30 years later, and you become a big shot, and your daddy say, I'm now running out of of my retirement savings because I have to pay your tuition, and every summer you come back to Hong Kong, I pay for it. Am I right? Is your parent paying for it? Or you pay for it yourself? Could you speak out loud? Did you pay for it?
No.
Jonathan, did you pay for it yourself? Who paid for that ticket?
My parents,
okay. And then your parents say, I paid for all this, now I'm running out of retirement fund. Could you do me a favor? I need $1,500 to pay for rent that Moses, that property belongs to Moses. I have to pay for monthly rent. Then you receive that letter, I think you're going to tear it up. But what is this? What is this? What is this? You forget your Apple iPhone 8 belongs to him. You forget all this, man. You want to give birth to a children like this? Not me. But if you are obedient, it's okay. But if you are disobedient, that's no good. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't follow the pattern of this world. Oh, at the 25, I got to get married. And I got to have a children. You ask yourself, are you a good children? Are you a good child? We are lousy. It's okay to get some blessing from parents. It's no good for me to give you anything. Am I right? I go back to the Bible, okay? Are you awake now? You understand what I'm trying to say now? Okay. Verse 35, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you. It's a concession, it's not a command. But that you may live in the right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord, because eventually you have to give account to Jesus Christ. He's going to ask you how you're going to spend your time, how you're going to spend your energy, how you can spend your money. All this, he gave it to you. Verse 36. Well, verse 36 to 38, there's two kind of interpretations. I read the first kind of interpretation first. If anyone thinks he's acting improperly, trust the virgin he is engaged to. That means probably when he was young, he engaged to a virgin, just like Joseph engaged to Mary, okay? And if she is getting along in years, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do it as he wants. He's not sinning. They should get married, if that's how you feel. But the man who has settled the matter on his own mind, although he's engaged already, but now because he come to the Apostolic Bible Church and understand 1 Corinthians chapter 7, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will and have self-control too, and who has made up his own mind not to marry the virgin, even though he's engaged, this man also does the right thing. So that he who married the virgin does right. It's all right to do that. But he who does not marry her does even better. This is God's concession to each and every one of us. If you are virgin. Now what is another version? 36 to 38. I'm speaking to Joyce. Just like Stephen speaking to Emily, just like Keelan speaking to Hannah, pay attention to footnotes. If anyone thinks he's not treating his daughter properly, and if she is getting along in years, well, apply to my daughter, Emily, and Hannah too, right? And he feels that he ought to marry, he should do it as he wants. He's not sinning. He should let her daughter get married. But if the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but his control over his own will, and who has made up his mind to keep the virgin unmarried, this man does the right thing. So then, he who gives his virgin in marriage does right, but he who does not give her in marriage does even better. Now, purposely, I don't mention Jean's name, because Jean doesn't have the last name of Lamb. It's not my decision. I'm just a concession. It's your father's decision. Alright? But it's also your decision too. Am I right, Jim? Yes or no?
I didn't hear you.
Yes, okay. As I said, this is not a command. Either way is okay. One is all right. One is good and even better. Right? Now go back to what I missed. Verse 10. To the married, I give this command. Not us, but the Lord. This is the Lord's command. Okay? Once you make that decision, you have to follow this command. A wife must not separate from her husband. No divorce. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband must not divorce his wife. Same thing. Verse 12. To the rest, I say this. I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer, how can a brother, a Christian, has a wife who is not a believer? Because both of them, when they get married, they are unbeliever. And later on, one comes to know Jesus Christ and believe in Jesus. Another refuses to believe in Jesus. That's what it really means. Don't use these Bible verses and say, wow, I have married a non-Christian. This is not what it really means, okay? Go back in verse 12. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. If a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. Why? For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his believing wife. And the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. So in other words, a couple, they get married as a non-believer, and then later on, one hear the gospel and believe, the other hear the gospel, refuse to believe. You cannot say, oh, because I'm a believer, she's not a believer, I divorce her. This is not an excuse. Because God said that God can use you to sanctify your husband. God can use you to sanctify your wife. Otherwise, your children is not holy. Now your children is holy. Okay? Verse 15. But, circle the word, but if the unbeliever leaves, because he's sick and tired of you coming to the church every Wednesday prayer meeting, sick and tired of you coming to the church every Sunday morning, and he want to leave you, the Bible says, if he want to leave you, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not barred in such circumstances. And God has called us to live in peace. I want to circle the word in peace. God has called us to live in peace. If he argue with you and fight with you and didn't want you to believe in God and threaten you, using the divorce to threaten you, let him walk away. I want to circle the word right beside 7:15. You write Colossians chapter 3 verse 15. 7:15 and 3:15, Colossians. The Bible said, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as member of one body, you are called to peace. God called us to peace. God did not want you to fight because one's believer and another's non-believer. If he fight with you, let him leave. But when he leave, you don't get married anymore. Okay? But if you find out, wow, you know, if my husband divorced me, I cannot get married anymore, then you better submit to him. Don't get any fight. It's a lot of problem, right? You know, if you don't get married, you don't have to worry about this problem. You know, if a storm comes, You know, just, you know, if I stay in Florida, if the storm comes, I'm going to go to New York. If the storm goes to New York, I'm going to drive back to, you know, Chicago and then, you know, wrap around and come back to Florida. You know what I mean? So, one people, all right, and happy. But the problem is, you know, people never experience that. They thought, your neighbor grass lawn is greener. You know what I mean? Okay? So that's the problem, okay? Now go back. Read that one more time. 15. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. Although the Bible says let him do so, you do not take it lightly. You do not take it lightly. You have to ask yourself, did you do something that caused him to do that? Right? A believing man or woman is not barred in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as a member of one body, you were called to peace. Verse 16. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? If you are a believer, if you're being patient, filled with the Holy Spirit, God can use you to convert your husband to be Christian. Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Same thing. Alright? Verse 17. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him. If you are married, remain married. Because that's what the Lord assigned you in a marriage situation. And each one should retain the place to which God has called him to. And this is the rule, Paul said, I lay down in all churches. Verse 18. Was a man already circumcised, that means a Jewish people, when he was called, he should not become uncircumcised. He should not act like a non-Jew. Was a man uncircumcised, that means a Gentile, when he was called, he should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's command is what it counts. Because eventually when you see Jesus Christ, he's going to ask you, what kind of command that you have done in your life that you obey me? He will ask you. Because surely he's going to reward each person according to what he has done. Verse 20, each one should remain in the situation which he was called in when God called him. 17, mention the what? 20, mention the choice. Verse 24, mention the third time. Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to. Three times. Make sure whatever the situation you are in, when you call to believe in Jesus Christ, remain in that situation. If you are a believing wife, your husband is not believing, remain married. Suffer the pain and go through that. Verse 21. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. I want to circle the word, the Lord's free man. What does it mean by the Lord's free man? If you were the slave to your master, remain to be slave to your master. When you're faithful in serving your master, according to Ephesians chapter 6, according to Colossians chapter 3, when you are faithful in serving your earthly master, you are just like serving Jesus Christ. That's what it means by the lost tree man. You don't have to serve God, because you're bound to serve your earthly master. We made to be faithful in serving your earthly master. When you are faithful in serving your earthly master, that means you're faithful in serving God. And then in Ephesians 6, in chapter 6, God will reward you. In Colossians 6, you will inherit an inheritance from Jesus Christ. That is what a lot dream in. The Lord say, you don't need to serve. You serve your earthly master, you are just serving him, because he's not giving you another burden. Now, take a look at that situation. Similarly, he who was a free man, just like you and I, free man, we are not slave to anyone. When he was called in Christ, okay, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. If you are not a slave to any man, you better serve God, because you are Christ's slave. Circle the word Christ slave. Okay? So, wow, I never serve you, then you're in deep trouble. Because God said, you are my slave. What have you done for me? 722. For those people who refuse to serve God, remember these Bible verses. When you are free, when God called you, at that time you are a free man. Don't you know you are the slave of Jesus Christ? You have to serve Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 23. You were born at a price. Do not become slave of man, because you are a free man. Now that's the problem. You remember the husband and wife relationship? When you get married, husband tries to please who? Please the wife. Wife tries to please who? The husband. You virtually become her slave and his slave. But Christ said, you are my slave. You're going to live a life, a balanced life. May God give you wisdom how to live that balanced life. Because God said, you have to please your spouse. At the same time, you are my slave. Oh, wow. I think we have a better understanding now. Verse 24. Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him. There are a lot of choices that we can make. Some choice is alright. Some choice is good. Some choice is bad. The choice that you make, you have to face the consequences. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It is well written. We know exactly what Paul is trying to say to us. And help us to respond to it in a proper way. Because we are responsible to give an account to our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are his slave. Help us to understand your word and put what we learn into practice, so that when we see you face to face, we will be richly rewarded by. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.